In 1994, I just graduated from high school and was starting my first semester at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I was in the first class to get assigned an email address. And I remember it clearly. We went with our freshman English class down to the ginormous library. Then we took turns sitting in front of these mammoth computer screens to set up our email accounts. That's right, email was new and the internet was new and just catching on. Think dial-up AOL. In 2,800 miles away, a guy named Jeff had just started an online business, and it was an e-commerce store, and the original goal was to sell books. In fact, Jeff's goal was really to be the largest seller of books in the entire world. And the name of his website, well, the name of it was Kadabra.com. Have you ever heard of it? Of course not, and here's why you've never heard of that. Kadabra was a shorter version of the word abracadabra, but no one really understood the connection, and really the name was, it was not a very good name, and it was so bad that it had potential to doom the company right from the beginning. Jeff really liked the name, and so he was trying to stick with it, but one day he was on the phone with one of his lawyers, and the attorney mistook the name Kadabra for cadaver, you know, also known as a corpse or a deceased person. So Jeff changed the name. And so after about 1 year of launching Kadabra, the name was changed to Amazon.com. And I'm sure you've heard of that. And Jeff picked Amazon, Jeff Bezos, that is, because it was exotic and different. And Amazon is the home to the largest river in the world. And he wanted Amazon.com to be exotic and different and the largest retailer in the world. And he also wanted his company name to be listed at the top of any directories that you would find online or offline, I imagine, any alphabetical listing, so the A would get him at the top. Search engine optimization had hardly even existed at the time. So Amazon really is the perfect business name. And to further seal the brand in the mind of what you now recognize as Amazon, which is much more than a book retailer or bookseller, it really has everything, is that in 2000, they added the little smiley face arrow at the bottom of the logo. And if you could picture that in your mind, you might not have noticed it before, but it actually goes from the letter A to the letter Z. So A to Z is basically everything that you can find on Amazon. And it also makes a little bit of a smiley face there under that. And we all know that shopping makes us happy unless it's your spouse and you find packages on your doorstep every single day. But I digress. Today, Amazon is in fact the largest retailer in the world and has become a household name. Would it be so if it were still called Kadabra? Well, it's hard to know for certain. I'm sure it would still be huge. I mean, the company itself is just a great company, and Jeff Bezos is a brilliant man. But Kadabra is not as easy to say. It's not as simple to spell. And if somebody told you to go to Kadabra.com, well, there's a good chance that you would hear what Jeff's attorney heard at that time, which is not a very good thing to hear. And I'm fascinated by names, and I've come up with dozens of names for businesses and blogs, podcasts, apps, and things like that. And I've even developed a little bit of a framework that I use to help others come up with the perfect business name or the perfect blog name. And today, I'm going to give you a list of questions that you need to ask yourself and then answer before moving on to come up with your own name. So if you've got a blog or a business or an idea for something that you want to start up on the side or a side business, it's a good thing to go through these questions before picking a name. But before I get to the questions, let me just stop for a second and say hello and welcome to Quit Pinching Pennies, the faith-based podcast for moms and dads who want to work less and earn more so they can quit pinching pennies and focus on what matters most, like family, homeschooling, working from home, adoption, giving, or missions. I like to call it faith-based lifestyle design, or the four-hour workweek for people of faith. I'm your host and your teacher, Dave Mooring, and I'm certainly glad you're here listening to this episode. Now, back to naming your podcast or your business, blog, or what have you. Again, you're going to want to take some time to answer a few questions. Well, scratch that. You're not going to want to take time to answer some questions, but you should take some time to answer the questions because names are important. You should put some thought into it. You should jot some notes down. You should do a little bit of brainstorming. And to help you with that, here are some questions that you can ask yourself, and then you can decide whether they're worth your time or not. So let's start with how. Do you remember that time that you and your friends partied a little too hard? You stayed up a little bit too late. You got a little bit silly. and someone came up with that really hilarious name for a new restaurant. And to this day, every time you get together with your friends or your buddies, you recall that story and you laugh really loud, and somebody's like, you should really go do that. Why haven't you started that name? And then you decided that, you know, one day you're going to open up a restaurant with that very name. Don't do that. You see, the way most people go about naming a new entity is that they think about what they like, what makes them happy, or what their friends and their family think. But the problem with this approach is that, well, your friends and your family are not necessarily your customers. You're looking at your business from one point of view, your point of view, which is influenced by years of inside jokes and shared experiences. And jokes and experiences that, well, your customers are not going to share those same jokes and experiences. You need to think of your name from a perspective of your customers. And that starts with asking these questions. So the first one is, how do people find my business or my podcast or my blog? Are they going to Google it? Go to Yelp? Twitter? Are they going to ask their colleagues at work? A spouse? A friend? A vendor of theirs? A client? Are they going to look in a coupon book or the newspaper, if they still get the little coupon books or the sheets of coupons in the newspaper? But the point is, you know, what are the steps your customers are going to take to get to you? Now, if they search online, what terms will they search for? Will they search for your specific name because they've heard of you? Or will they search for the type of product or the service that you have to offer, or the type of blog or the niche that you're writing about or podcasting about? If they look for referrals, well, who are they going to ask for referrals, and what types of questions are going to ask those people? So take a couple of minutes to think of some ways that your customers are going to find you. How do you anticipate the people who might be interested in what you have? What are the steps they're going to take to find you? And if you're having a hard time thinking through this, just ask some other people you know how they would go about finding the topic that you're talking about, or your business, or your blog. Someone that, you know, uses a competitive or alternatives, or visits another website, or maybe somebody that listens to similar types of podcasts, and ask them how they found those and what they would do if they wanted to find more, and see what they have to say, and then jot those answers down. The next question that you want to ask yourself is, how will my fans spread the word? Or how will the people that really like what I'm doing, how are they going to tell other people about me? And here's a good example of this. I once discovered, this is probably 5 or 10 years ago, an online site for building your own community. I guess it was kind of like the early days of Facebook, or maybe the end of MySpace. And people wanted to start their own communities, and they could do it through the site. And the site is called Ning. Now, if you've ever tried to tell somebody, like I'm telling you about it right here, Ning is difficult to say. And imagine saying it in a loud restaurant or at a bar or at a gathering with 15 or 20 people all in one room talking, which is, you know, a lot of where the referrals and the thing, you know, you make recommendations, it comes from. If you try to say that, it's kind of cumbersome. It's difficult to say. So go ahead right now, if you're listening to in your car or in your house or wherever you are, just say Ning out loud. And imagine trying to say that to someone else with music or loud people laughing or whatever it is. But the problem is, and you probably don't even know what I'm saying, so let me spell it for you. It's ning.com. So you get the idea. So turn your attention to your biggest fans, the loyal people who really want to tell everybody else about you. And think about how they're going to spread the word. Now, maybe they're not going to do word of mouth, and so that's why it's important to think through these questions. But if they're going to tell people about it, you want to make sure that it's easy to say and it's easy to spell. Maybe they're going to text people, or Facebook Messenger, or Snapchat. You know, if it's an older audience, maybe they will talk in person or use the phone or send it via email. And you don't want them to have to look up the spelling or try to have to spell it out every time you talk about it over the phone or something like that. So again, think about how people are going to spread the word. Is it easy to say? Is it easy to pronounce? Is it easy to spell? And, you know, and is it memorable? Is it something that they're going to remember and be able to tell somebody else? The next question you want to ask yourself is, how is your name going to differentiate you from your competition? And not competition in a negative sense, but the other people, or the other options that people have. Will your name spark new ideas or thoughts? Or will it paint a mental image? Will people be able to visualize, you know, where you are and what you do? Will it create curiosity and excitement? So if someone is viewing several alternatives, let's say they did a search on iTunes for podcast and your name, they see the several different names right in front of them, or if they do a Google search for blogs and things like that, will your name stand out? And if it does, will that be in a good way, or will it just kind of blend in with all the other blogs, podcast businesses in your niche? All right, just a couple more questions here. The next one is, how will I use technology, domain names, email, social media, etc.? Can you get a short, concise, easy to spell domain name, yourname.com? You really don't want to go with abbreviations. You want to avoid hyphenated words. You want to, you know, avoid really long domain names that are really hard to spell. And that's getting harder to do. I realize that. And I think that's why, you know, you could go with a .net. I would always recommend going with a .com if you can. But, you know, .io is becoming popular. .co is becoming popular. So I think over time, some of these others will be more adopted, but always try to go with the .com. So if you're a, you know, a consulting firm, law firm, or you want to do some sort of freelance work on the side, sometimes it's going to be difficult for people to remember really long names or combine names, you know, together. If your name is difficult to spell, you know, consider that. And then also think about how it would be or how it's going to look in an email address. So if it's your name at some really long word or some really difficult thing to spell, maybe you don't anticipate people typing in your domain name to find your website, but you anticipate them typing in an email address to find you and those types of things. You know, I do recommend if you can to keep it from ending like your domain name or your email and things like that, ending in LLC or Inc. or something like that. You know, after all, like thinking back to Amazon again, it wouldn't be the same if it was AmazonInc.com or AmazonLLC.com or something like that. Entities, you know, like if you're starting a side, a yoga studio or cafe bistro or something like that, sometimes, adding studio or bistro or something podcast, sometimes there's nothing wrong with that. Again, just make sure that it's not too long. Think about your social media profiles. Like, you know, for example, Twitter has character limits for the length of a name. So again, I just encourage you to stay away from really long names, but you know, think about how social media is going to appear for you if you're going to focus on Instagram and Twitter, and what's that going to look like? And, you know, make sure that there's not a lot of names that are similar to yours already being used. How long will people need to remember my name? So there's a Chinese food place down the street from me where, you know, it's about 10 minutes away that we can go get some Chinese food. And they have a very generic name, something like Best Chinese Food or Grand China or something like that. And we don't get takeout very often, but when we do, you know, I want to call in an order. And so I just go to Google and or Google Maps and I just type in Chinese food because I can never remember the name because it's not very unique. But what will happen if a new Chinese restaurant opens that's, you know, halfway in between here and that other one, and that starts popping up on my radar? Well, it might not be as good, but if it's closer and that's the one that keeps popping up, well, then that's probably where I'm going to go. So again, for that, it's something that I need to remember over a few weeks or a couple of months before I need to do it again, or I need to order again. So how long is your, you know, might be a sales cycle or something like that, but how long will somebody need to remember your name? If it's a podcast and listen to it in the car and they just listen to one episode, you know, will it be, you know, a couple of days before they get back to searching for it again? If they're going to tell people about it at a gathering or things like that. Again, just how long people remember your name, and if it's going to be, you know, for a decent amount of time, you want to make sure that it's really memorable, that people can think about it over a long period of time. And then how will people say it if they've never heard it spoken before? So this goes a little bit about to back. A couple of questions back to, the name itself and how people are going to talk about it. But if you're talking to somebody over the phone or you're going to text somebody, how easy is it for them to text the name and without, some, you know, backwards letters or, you know, I think when, Twitter started, I think they took out the vowels. So it was like TWTTR or something like that, which would be very difficult to spell. So I know that in the tech world, in the app world, sometimes we start to leave out letters, and I wanted to do the same with Super Simple. I left the E off because I couldn't get the domain name supersimple.com. So again, if it's difficult to spell because you've used different letters or you've used a PH instead of an F and things like that, you know, just think about how people are going to use that. And you don't want people to be afraid to pronounce it, for fear of getting it wrong. You don't want them to be afraid to spell it and text it to somebody, because if somebody thinks that they're going to say it wrong, then there's a good chance that they're not going to want to say it. And, you know, two that come to my mind are Lululemon, and I think that's the way you pronounce it. I'm not even sure. And Stella Artois, I think is how the beer is pronounced. Both of those are very unusual names to me, and I would probably, for the most part, you know, I'm recording it here for you, but I would typically avoid saying those things in public for fear of getting them wrong. And then lastly, how will people spell it when they've never seen it written before? So we were just talking about how people are going to say it if they've never heard it before and they see it in writing or you text it to somebody. But let's say somebody's got to write it down, so they hear it over the phone or they need to look it up, or we were just talking about texting. So again, these are all different things that you need to think about. And again, it's from a customer perspective. So how are people going to find you? How are people going to share the word? How are they going to type it in? What's it going to be like on social media? And just think through some of those things and just write it down. Brainstorm a little bit, come up with a couple of different names, bounce the ideas off of friends and family and other people that, you know, might be somebody that would use your website or your product or your service, and get their feedback. In the next episode, I'm going to give you a few steps that you can go through, some practical steps that you can use to name your business. But in the meantime, if you'd like to connect with me online, if you have any questions about your name, feel free to connect with me. I've got a free private Facebook group for moms and dads and people of faith who are trying to build side businesses and blogs and podcasts and things like that. It's called Quit Pinching Pennies, the same name of the podcast. And you can find it by going to quitpinchingpennies.com. And that's going to forward you over to a Facebook group where you can request to join there. You can also shoot me an email or contact me through my website, which is supersimple.com. Just drop the E. So it's SUPERSIMPL.com. And if you head over to my website, I've got a roadmap that I've used to show people how to go from developing an idea to creating a side business to building that business to, you know, roughly $1,000 a month or more, and how to make that sustainable so that they can earn some more money, maybe work a little bit less and focus on the things that are really important. So if you'd like to grab that roadmap and learn a little bit more, just head over to supersimple.com and you can find it right there. Otherwise, thanks for listening again, and until next week, take care.